Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my niggas? PSA motherfucking podcast, man. Let me get the bro in here right quick. Sean, what's good, my nigga? You on?
Yeah, I'm on.
How are you, my G?
I'm not good at all, man. Today's a tragic, sad, very depressing day for me. It's a very upsetting, sad day for me as a fan of this hip-hop culture.
I don't even know where to start at, my nigga. You know what's wild? You know what's wild, fam? When me and you did the show today during lunch with academics and we talked about Vic Mensa, I mean, these academics and Mensa and all that shit, I want to say, fam, about 10 minutes later, my phone was in my drawer at work. My shit's buzzing, my nigga. Bzz, bzz, bzz. I'm like, the fuck going on? And then I read that shit, son. I don't know. What was your reaction when you first heard that? Because my reaction, I was flush. I was just gone for like, nigga, I caught chills, my nigga.
I was shocked. I was in a state of shock. My brother recently just saw Prodigy on tour, and he was telling me about it. He was just so hyped and amped about it. Like, he was explaining to me that, yo, you got to see this shit. These motherfuckers have, yo, 2 hours straight of just hit after hit nonstop, and the crowd going word for word. I remember we had Joe Budden on the show, and Joe Budden was like, yo, nobody could just have one flow. Everybody got to change up. And I was like, no, my nigga. I said, Prodigy used his flow from the 90s on New Lock's album. And Joe Budden was like, yeah. You know, Prodigy is one of the rare all-time great MCs who all the great MCs know is great. You know, he may have not have had the multi-platinum
success. Right.
But he had enough commercial success where every multi-platinum artist looked at him as an equal. They couldn't look down on him because his music was so impactful and so great that even if they sold more records than him, when they would do an album or if he called for a collabo, them niggas would do it. So Prodigy dying, it's more of a tragedy because it's not only Prodigy's going, Mobb Deep as a group is going now. There's no Mobb Deep. Like, this is
my nigga. Damn.
Sad day in hip hop. It's a sad day. And the thing is, as we celebrate his life, we are blessed that we got over 20 years of music from him. Over
Talk about it, my nigga.
Years. And the reason why I could say that, because if you go back to when they had Hit It From The Back, when they was teenagers, that was in like 93, before they was even calling themselves Mobb Deep. Because, by the way, Stretch Armstrong went on Twitter and broke that down. That before they was called Mobb Deep, they was called the Prodigal Poets or something.
Mm.
And but that was in 93. So think about this. 1993, we're in 2017. Prodigy was still making music. He just did my favorite song on the Lox album that came out in 2016. On the Lox album, we had his same slow flow, ill flow. And you know what? I'm going to celebrate all his music because Prodigy is an all-time great.
Son, I've been playing Mobb Deep. I've been playing Mobb Deep all fucking day at work. What are you going to say? I'm going to cut you off. My bad.
No, salute to you, because we did Mobb Deep appreciation. So let me just say this to be very clear. Me and Dre ain't need Prodigy to die for us to always
Facts.
Give him props.
Facts, nigga.
About talking 90s hip-hop about fucking Prodigy. Like, because to us, Prodigy's Big, Jay, Nas, Hov, all of the Prodigy's the same.
Son,
the
we
same
just, my
show.
Nigga, we just started our appreciation thing where we talking about appreciating rappers and saluting them on what they did for the culture. And the first thing we did was Mobb Deep. We did Cameron number 2, but the first one we did was Mobb Deep, and that was a week ago, my nigga. A week ago.
And
go check our page.
And what's crazy about it is Big said you nobody till somebody kills you.
Damn.
So I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm going to be very honest with you, Three. I have mixed feelings about
I know you are.
The love he's getting from a lot of MCs.
Nah, don't do that, though, fam. Let's not do that, though, B. Should we not do that today, though? I feel you. I feel you, my nigga.
No.
But should we not do that today, though?
Listen. I'm celebrating his life, but I'm telling you my immediate reaction. Prodigy
right.
got to die for me and you to do Prodigy appreciation. Me and you talk, every time we talk 90s, we talk Prodigy. Me and you can't talk Boo without talking about Mobb Deep. We can't talk Nas without talking about Mobb Deep. You know why? Because in that golden era of hip-hop, Prodigy was rhyming with the niggas. If me and you talk about Big Pun and we talk about his album, what we going to talk about? We going to talk about Prodigy song with Dex and Pun. Like, in every aspect of what we loved about the golden era of hip-hop, Prodigy is there. You know what I'm saying?
Fam,
so,
I feel you.
Yeah,
today is not, I don't think today
is,
No doubt. But isn't it good that the hip-hop community is doing that, though? If they didn't come out and show love, me and you'll be bashing niggas left and right, will we not?
No. It's the thing that you love about hip hop, you know, what's one of the things we always say? We would love for someone to interview Jay-Z and find out what he thinks about stuff.
Right.
Why do we love the Peter Rosenberg interview more than any other Jay-Z interview? Because
they talked hip hop. It wasn't the same bullshit asshole interview that you get all the time.
But what specifically did Peter Rosenberg ask him? He said, what do you think about Prodigy for Mobb Deep? That specific question is why that's my favorite interview of all time. Because Hope had acknowledged the Jay-Z that everybody
knows.
No, but
hold on. To Jay-Z's credit, though, on, was that Blueprint 3 on A Star Is Born with fucking J. Cole, he bigged up Mobb Deep, though. He said, Prodigy took a little too far. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not taking that away from Jay-Z. I'm just talking about in that interview, Jay-Z said, yo, truth be told, Prodigy was a top 3 MC during that time. Like, Hov admitted
it.
And he said it about Prodigy. Prodigy is one of, listen, you younger dudes, I don't know disrespect to y'all. I'm not here to say nothing, but it was different back then. A 19-year-old today, and this is no disrespect to the youth, a 19-year-old today is Little Yachty. A 19-year-old in our era was Prodigy. His verse for Shook Ones, he was 19 years old. That is one of the greatest rhymes in hip-hop history.
At 19.
To put it into more perspective, let me just hit y'all with a little bit of hip-hop 101. Kendrick Lamar is 29 years old. He just came out with a great album, right? Prodigy's body of work between 19 and 25 years old. When he was 25, he came out with Keep
Incredible.
It
Incredible. Classics.
That body of work between as a 19-year-old to 25 is one of the most iconic, greatest bodies of work in hip-hop history. That body of work. From The Infamous to Keep It Thorough. And we're not even talking about his collaborations and his guest appearances.
Yeah.
Prodigy and Mobb Deep have unreleased music that could be classic albums.
And let's just keep it extra tall. Before Jada was out here giving niggas dope verses, and niggas said Jada give niggas dope 16s, Prodigy was doing that before, my nigga. Let's be clear. You know what I mean? It was dope to have P on a fucking feature.
P features were great. P features were great. I mean, when I think about Prodigy, this is some of the greatest collabos you ever going to hear. Like, y'all do know Prodigy was on Big Pun's album.
Facts. Just let us.
Like, think about this, y'all.
P.
Think about this.
And hold on. Let me take it up another level. Premier sampled Prodigy's voice numerous times. When Primo does all them scratches and sample niggas' voices on niggas' songs, tell me he doesn't sample Prodigy's voice on a regular. He's do that shit.
Prodigy has one of the greatest voices in hip-hop history.
After Rakim's voice, you got to say Prodigy's voice made you want to hear what the fuck he's saying. It's like, what's the nigga talking about? His own voice alone.
Let me keep it 100 with y'all. I love street reality rap. People who could paint a picture of the streets. I like that kind of hip-hop. That's why I like Benny and Conway, right? You can arguably say, no MC who ever lived painted a better picture of street life, hood life, project life than Prodigy. You can argue that.
Man, what the jilly? What the jilly with that though? It ain't banging. You hooked on Marphonics. It's Phonics, damn it, man. Oh, damn. I just had to get that out, my nigga. That's so fuck good to do that, man.
Prodigy was great. I like that Nori put up an Instagram that him and Prodigy,
True Life did the same thing too. Word.
I like knowing that because I did not know that, so I liked seeing that. I like seeing Mariah Carey give props because Prodigy worked with so many artists that I forgot that she did a song over the Sugar Ones beat because it's one of the most iconic beats of all time. With them rhyming over it in that video. I mean,
facts, nigga.
I mean, everybody in the industry who was here in the 90s to now can only give it up for Mobb Deep. They can only give it up and salute and give them their props. Man, this is a devastating loss for hip hop, in my personal opinion. It's a devastating loss. Devastating.
Hey, yo, Joe Budden, real quick. I know you about to do Everyday Struggle, my nigga. Academics, no disrespect to you, act, but we're going to need you to fall back. Not even really, you can't really even say a word, my nigga. Just, you know, give it up, cool, and let Joe Budden handle that and drop some jewels on how ill P was. That's, you know what I mean?
And I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, Joe Budden, because anything less than Prodigy was a top tier MC of the 90s. I mean,
but Joe Budden tweeted out. He tweeted out and showed his respect for Prodigy,
well,
though.
It's more than that. Joe Budden has a show where they're going to have to talk about it, and tomorrow he's going to have to articulate it. I want to hear him articulate.
Just because they had words and shit, because Joe had words for Pete. That's water under the bridge, I think, my nigga. Come on.
I want to hear him articulate how great an MCP is. You have a platform that discusses hip hop culture, and you always say on your show, because I watch it every day, that we talk about the same MCs every day. I'm sick of the same MCs every day. This is out of your mouth, Joe Budden. So all I'm saying is that it's going to be refreshing to hear you now talk about the golden age of hip hop and one of the great MCs of that era, articulated to the world who watches the show. Academics generation does not know how great Prodigy is and was as an MC. You do. Educate and academic.
And to the niggas out there that was tweeting today talking about some, yo, I didn't like Prodigy. That must be a New York thing. Nigga, it's not a New York thing. It's a fucking hip-hop thing, my nigga. We lost a fucking legend today, man. Let's get off that New York. If Scarface passed away, niggas will be feeling that. But, of course, me and the bro is going to feel a little more because that nigga is from our city. That nigga is Prodigy, who we grew up listening to. So you got to, you know what I'm saying?
If you were a fan of hip-hop, rap music, and you listened to it in the entire decade of the 90s, there was no way you couldn't find Mobb Deep somewhere. Mobb Deep rapped with Snoop and the Eastsiders. They got a lot of West Coast collaborations. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of Down South collaborations. Like, this isn't strictly some local shit. We're not talking about dudes that didn't get the sound, didn't get out. Like, this is, if you liked hip hop, Mobb Deep is something you fucked with, straight up. They spit that. Listen to Uncle Murder said it himself, man. Uncle Murder tweeted out, you know, 50 idolized them dudes. Come on.
Yeah, son. Definitely. Definitely.
Are you serious? Like, this is, like, everybody. Yo, guys, y'all got to think about this. As great as Lewis and Nas was, as great as the Wu was, why did they want to do songs to Mobb Deep or work with them? Method Man is on Hell on Earth, and I remember an interview with Method Man. They said, "Yo, Method Man, you've always been a fan of Mobb Deep. I always wanted to do something with them, and that's why he's on that album." I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say, to be honest, man. But
my nigga,
you know,
Peep Game. They say Fife was 45, Heavy D was 44, Big Syke, whoever that is, 48, and Prodigy, 42.
Yeah, Big Syke was the dude who vomited with Tupac. That's scary. You know why that's scary? Because I'm 44. I'm in the age of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing my peers, the guys in my age group, they just dying. You know
Hold
what I'm
on,
saying?
My nigga. Did that mean you just do a show where we said Mobb Deep was in our top three?
Yes. Top three rap groups of all time. Yes, we said that. And guys was getting at me like, how could you not say that? How could you say they're better than Outkast? And I say, I have no problem with people who put Outkast. But in my personal preference on what I listened to Deep had on me, it never stopped. You got to understand something. Mobb Deep never stopped making music. Prodigy got mass solo albums.
Albert Einstein, two H&IC albums.
I got that 20th anniversary joint that came out in 2014. Well, you know, I never stopped listening to Mobb Deep. They've always been a part of my hip-hop life, which is why I have them over everybody. They're a better group than the Lox. People can get mad at that, but it's the truth. They don't have a
hip-hop. Yeah,
album.
Man, that's just...
That's not no
yeah,
diss to the Lox.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not no diss to the Lox. These brothers have three straight classics, and then they go straight into Head H-N-I-C-E album, which, by the way...
And let's keep it tall. Before you go to HNIC, I guarantee if you ask the Lox, Jada, Styles, and Sheik, they'll tell you, my nigga, we came up under the Mobb, and that was an influence for us in Yonkers when we're doing our music. I guarantee you they'll say that.
Absolutely. 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 So, Prodigy solo album, HNIC. 25-year-old Prodigy. He's working with Alchemist. He has a song on that album called You Can Never Feel My Pain.
Oh,
that song
my God.
Resonated with me so much because, to me, he eased the entire industry of struggle rap niggas, niggas who talk the streets. Because he was like, you niggas talking about you broke in the projects, nigga. I'm talking about being alive. I'm in the hospital bed with IVs in my arm throwing shit. Like, his pain was real. And it was a pain that a nigga walking around talking about, yo, I'm broke, nigga. I gotta stick niggas up. I gotta put what. He's like, that's not pain. That's bullshit. My pain is
what?
Real, nigga. When you hospitalized. You know what I'm saying? I loved that song. That was the song. I was like, this shit is the realest song ever. Another song on that album that was the epitomizes hip hop to me was a song he got with Cole Maker called 3 a.m.
3 a.m. was fire.
Oh, my. That song, like, if somebody say, what's hip-hop to you? Like, give me songs that make me, that if this would define hip-hop to you, what does it? That song right there.
Right.
Prodigy was the embodiment of everything I personally loved about hip-hop.
Well, my nigga, Royce da 5'9" tweeted out, Prodigy was one of the people who raised me lyrically, so I'll basically be sad all day.
No,
my nigga,
so gotta
give it up though.
I'm gonna tell you the significance of that. There's two. So I'm gonna tell you my feelings on that. First of all, Mickey Facts to the battle rap community. Y'all know who Mickey Facts is. Mickey Facts says Royce da 5'9" is the greatest lyricist of all time. So Mickey Facts, did you see what Royce da 5'9" just said? He said Prodigy raised him lyrically. Your greatest MC of all time is saying to the world, Prodigy raised him publicly. Just so people could understand how great and the influence of Prodigy was. Prime Nas, Ryan was a Prodigy. Prime Nas, when Nas was at his best lyrically.
My nigga, I told you this numerous times. I used to get beat up for saying that I like Prodigy more than Nas. Niggas used to get mad at me. And this is not me saying this because the man passed away. I was saying this before. And I think you've heard me say this numerous times also. I've always felt that way. There was a time when I fucked with P more than Nas. And that's not taking nothing away from Nas, but it's just being honest. I fucked with P for a long time. He went through a stretch where that's... Nigga, I was dying for a Prodigy solo album. I thought HNIC should have been 2 years before he dropped it, in my opinion. He could have dropped it 2 years before that.
So, this is something I always tell people. And people don't know how to take this. Every time people talk about Illmatic, the production, the lyricism, they're right. Illmatic is a masterpiece. The Infamous was equally a masterpiece.
But keep it real. And some niggas gonna hate us for saying that, but it's the goddamn fucking truth, my nigga.
Listen, the streets played it more, and it was... It actually sold more than Illmatic. Illmatic wasn't a big selling album. Nas is on Infamous. He's on one of the great collaborations of all time.
Raekwon.
Listen, no disrespect to you, DJ Khaled, how you just take random MCs and put them on a song together and just put out a song.
Right?
Oh, man. I, DJ Khaled, this is how a collaboration song should sound when they all in the studio together. And Prodigy sends everybody's verse, and then he rewrites his verse because that's the behind-the-scenes story to his verse on Eye for an Eye. Because niggas was in the studio and he heard niggas. He's like, what? These niggas, yo, I gotta do my shit over. And he wrote his verse over. Fire.
Just wanna say real quick, that, man, fuck sickle cell, fuck cancer. And you know, sickle cell, that's really, and black people, black folks, we live with sickle cell. That's in our people, you know what I mean?
I'm very happy that me and you and some of my other hip hop heads, we always giving it up for Mobb Deep while they were alive.
Facts.
His death is not like, oh shit, Prodigy died. Maybe I really did like him. Let's be very clear. When Jay put Prodigy,
son, how many times me and you had conversations saying, yo, man, we get Pete on the show, my nigga. What if we got Prodigy on the show? We get to chop it up with that nigga Pete. How many times we had that conversation, my nigga? You know what I mean?
Listen, Prodigy is every rapper from the tri-state area's favorite rapper to do a collab. I mean, they had a song with Exhibit. Shit was fire.
Exhibit joint was dope.
Oh, come on, man! Like, these were Prodigy. Prodigy's great, and I gotta say this again. This also destroys Mobb Deep. Going to be very difficult for Havoc to perform without Pete. He has the iconic verses. Like, this is a sad day in hip hop, and I'm personally devastated. I'm personally devastated, and I haven't seen. Has 50 come out and said anything yet? Have you seen anything?
They said 50. I'm not on Instagram or shit like that, but I think they were saying 50. You know, 50 gotta say something though, man. Come on now. He went to visit the nigga when he was in prison also, you know?
Not only that, when Prodigy was, you know, recently Prodigy was doing his vegan health book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was on tour doing it, and he was in the studio. He was up at This Is 50 offices. So he still fucked the 50 heavy. I know that for a fact because I've seen it. You know, Prodigy was still coming through. So I know this still love that. I seen Tony Yayo gave him a shout out and all that. But I just want to say that the younger people
are Queens, though. I'm not surprised Yayo do that. It's Queens.
Here's how I feel about it. Prodigy's death merits every iconic rapper who's still alive to comment on it. That's how I believe. I believe his death has that magnitude. So yeah, Huck D chimed in. You know what I'm saying? Nas chimed in. Everybody got this, and we're in an era where when you want to say something, you just go to your social media account and say something. So everybody's doing it. You know what I'm saying? This is a big, big loss for hip hop. It's a big loss for hip hop. I mean, it's a soundtrack.
Yo, my nigga, you know the first thing I thought? Damn, we getting old, my nigga. Cause I'm like, damn, we lost Pete. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, damn, I'm getting old, man. We lost Prodigy today. That's the first thing I thought about.
Oh, it's devastating.
It's
man. I mean,
when you
it's
listen to
like
the nigga, really, when you listen to the nigga music now, and you hear like Still Shining, and verse off of shit like, you know, his verse off Burn and all that. It's like, damn, my nigga, you just feel that nigga's verse, my nigga, through your soul.
So
yeah, man,
I'm gonna
just like that.
I haven't listened to anything from Mobb Deep since he's died. I've been just looking at what people are saying. And the reason why is because Mobb Deep has never left my playlist. I'm one of those guys who walks around.
Sorry, my wife would tell you, I play Mobb Deep till this day, my nigga. I still play the Mobb. Still. My nigga,
so,
we just did an appreciation, so you know what it is.
So do I. I mean, I walk around with a 250-gig iPod with every Mobb Deep album. Every last one up until right now.
That's Walkman era, my nigga. That's the Walkman era. That's the Walkman era.
So anytime,
you know what I mean?
Anytime I have a feel, yeah, anytime I have a feel for I want to hear a certain Mobb Deep album, I just go to whichever one. If I want to hear the rawest, most sinister album maybe ever made, I go to Hell on Earth. And when I listen to that, it's to this day, it blows my mind that they can make an album like that. That's sinister, dark beats, raw lyrics, nothing for the radio. I mean, I don't think people appreciate these motherfuckers just making albums and they was not saying, I want Hot 97 to play this or I want girls to listen to this.
That nigga said on Shook Ones, back in Queens, the realness, the foundation, if I die, I could never pick a better location. That's at 19 years old. Crazy.
Like he had to think this. This guy was a writer, man. This is incredible when you think about it, man.
Fuck rhymes, I write prescriptions. Come on, man. Nigga say, fuck rhymes, I write prescriptions, nigga. I love that nigga, Prodigy, son. For real.
You know,
fuck
you
the bullshit. I love that nigga, son.
Listen, I know that, and so do I. So do I. You know how I feel about Mobb Deep. Like, back to what I was saying. Infamous, the streets felt the Infamous more than Illmatic. That's just how it was, man. Illmatic hit harder. It was just a great album, man. It's great. This is what I'm going to say about the Infamous. The Infamous is as good as any hip-hop classic. It's as good. That's what I'm going to say. Whatever's your favorite album in hip-hop, the Infamous is as good as that album. That's how I feel about that album. And I know a lot of people don't even say it, well, because it's true.
It's the truth, man.
Come on.
Nigga, from top to bottom, my nigga, from the beginning of the 41st side, the ending, all the way to Party's Over. Over. Come on.
I'm so happy you brought that up. The 41st side, the ending. I listened to that song. It's one of the rawest songs.
That shit is raw, my nigga.
You know the beat?
Yo.
How do you even produce a beat like that? Is there a rhyme on it? Oh, my God, man. And let me tell you something. I'm a New Yorker, but I'm from Brooklyn, so I didn't know about Queensbridge. I didn't live in Queensbridge, you know, so I didn't know about
the
it.
The Dunn language. You talking about the Dunn language? Let's get into the Dunn language. For real, man.
Listening to Mobb Deep, I would know about 41st Side, 12th Street.
Vernon.
And the people I know about, so all my quick thinkers, I asked them about these hoods. I said, yo, what's out there? He's like, yo, that's the project. That's where the stoops are. That's where niggas sitting on the benches, the bodega right there. Like it's like that picture he painted was so vivid. You used to see their videos and shit. You'd be like, yo, who is little niggas, man? Motherfuckers.
Come on, man.
You know? Diddy, we saw you in Survival of the Fittest video too, Diddy. We saw you out there, Diddy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird,
there.
But
no, because you knew.
Weird.
You knew, Diddy, you knew. You out there like, yo, these niggas is, you know, you out there like, I gotta be with these niggas. These niggas are fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, son, we lost Prodigy, my nigga. We really lost speed today. That shit, nigga, that shit ain't even, you know what I mean?
And let me tell you what's hurtful. Because a lot of people now are putting up videos of P, like, last week. Like, when they just saw him. They're like, yo, I just seen him last week. And they got him.
Yeah, I seen Premium.
Song.
Said he had a show on him with Father's Day and shit.
So people are showing him out there. He's still performing them songs. And the love he's getting shows that impact. Prodigy never, Mobb Deep never got deaded. Despite what people may have thought when they got on that Summer Jam screen. That's some of the jam screening and how that hip hop fan felt about them. Not
for
no
me.
Real hip hop fan.
Not for me.
Not for me.
I hope you my nigga. Jay Z, you and my favorite rappers, my nigga. But even the Summer Jam screen, I still listen to the Mob. I keep it tall. Straight up. Still listen to MOBB.
BB, DEEP, yo, Burn Slow, Queens.
ACD, Burn Something, Get Lifty, Queens, Is You With Me? Come on, son.
Elijah,
this nigga got too many quotables. That nigga got too many quotables. What about Hoodlum, the Rakim joint with Noid? his freestyle of Motherless Child. Oh, come on.
So let me tell you another thing of how influential Mobb Deep is for people who, for maybe new or younger people. So when 50 was beefing with the Lox, they choose instrumentals to rap over. Guess what instrumentals 50, Jadakiss was battling over? Mobb Deep songs. 50, Animal and Checkmate was a Mobb Deep song.
Fact.
It was a Mobb Deep song with Noid. The Word is out. Noid is out. You know, Air It Out with Noid. That was a Noid song with Mobb Deep, Steve Rhymes over on something called I'm an Animal, right, on a mixtape. Then when Jadakiss did Checkmate, he rhymed over the same beat. So when 50 responded to Jadakiss with I Run New York, that was a Mobb Deep song. Like, Mobb Deep used to just drop songs every mixtape, and you never knew what it was about. But the beat for I Run New York, the original song, it's a Mobb Deep song with Prodigy and Havoc rhyming over it. Like, come on, my nigga. These dudes had their influence on it's insurmountable. It's insurmountable. And let's be clear, Prodigy did not have to die for me and you to say what we're saying now, because we said it.
Real shit. Real shit. So, man, R.I.P. to Prodigy. You already know how me and Sean, you know how we do with this hip-hop shit. Real quick, homie. Jay-Z is dropping an album on June 30th. Tweeted out a couple of last week some 444 shit. I guess that was the hint thrown out to the massive. You know I'm hyped for a Jay-Z album. Hov, you owe us big, my nigga, because that Magna Carta Archie Bunker Award, that shit was trash. Nas, I don't know how the fuck when Jay-Z emailed you that beat, my nigga, you decided to rhyme off that garbage-ass shit. That shit was trash. I do not like Magna Carta. He owes us a solid album. I'm believing the executive producer for the album, Sean, is No ID. Your thoughts, my G?
I wasn't expecting a new Jay-Z album.
Be respectful.
I wasn't expecting a new Jay-Z album. And to quote Hollow the Dawn, to all my battle rap fans out there, to quote Hollow the Dinanon, I'm not excited.
What the fuck you mean I'm not excited for a Jay-Z? Why are you not excited for a whole album? Let me hear this bullshit. Go ahead.
I'll tell you why. What did you say about his last album?
I didn't like Magna Carta.
Guess who else didn't like it? I didn't like it either. I'm at the point
none of us did.
Hov is rhyming out of the love of hip-hop. He just loves hip-hop.
What's wrong with that?
You know
nothing wrong with that, sir.
Nothing's wrong with it. Wait, tell me. Nothing's wrong with it. That's why G-Rap just put out an album at 50. Nothing's wrong with it. People love it. That's why KRS still rhymes. There's nothing wrong with it.
Hold on, my nigga. Hold on, sir. When G-Rap dropped the album, you didn't complain about that. You was hyped as fuck. You tweeted me this shit.
Yep.
You said, yo,
yep,
we got to
yep
get up on this G-Rap
yep
shit.
Yep.
You didn't complain.
Yep.
So when Sean
yep
Corey Carter, Jay-Z, hold on, Jigga Man, Brooklyn, Stand the Fuck Up, Marcy Projects, all that, he decided to drop an album, and you complaining? Really? I'd rather hear Jay-Z than G-Rap. No disrespect to G-Rap.
I'm not complaining, but I'll tell you why. So when I got G-Rap's album, you know what I got? I got G-Rap doing songs with Conway. I can guarantee you Conway not going to be on this whole album. You know, when I got that G-Rap album, I got G-Rap with songs with Sean P, with Lil Fame, with Saigon.
Yes, but that's raw, that's raw underground Harriet Tubman hip-hop that we love. But
no, it's not. No, it's not.
I want to hear G-Rap. I want to hear Hov give us one last album. Here it is right here. Nigga, I'm hyped. Let's go, Hovie. It's Hovie,
okay,
baby. It's Hovie,
Picasso, baby.
Now, Jay, I ain't going to lie to you, my nigga. I don't really want to hear Art Talk on this album. Let's chill off the Art Talk a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, Ms. Drizzy, Art Talk. We cool with that. But listen, No ID's on the album, so hopefully we get some soulful beats.
So, honestly, you want me to be hyped, right, for the Jay-Z album. You asked me how I felt, and I'm telling you, I don't feel, to quote Hollow the Don, I'm not excited. That's all. That's how I feel. Like I'm not like, yo, Hov, come on the album, yo, three. Yo.
That's me. I'm that guy. You want to tell the people when Jay-Z, when they leaked out that Hov was dropped an album, that I called you immediately and told you I was hyped as fuck for this shit?
No.
Of course you downplayed it, of course.
Yo, salute to you, man. Salute to you. Salute to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to give it this run, but, you know, salute.
No, you're going to listen to it with a pen and pad and dissect it from beat to lyric to hook to bars to concept.
Hove don't do it for me no more, man. Let me quote Hove. You want the old Hove? Buy the old albums. Okay, I will.
Son, he's not gonna. Are you this? Hold on, my nigga. Are you the same person back in '96? No. '97? No. '98? No. '99? No. 2000? No. You get the drift? We're not the same people that we are back in them days.
You're right. So, talk about your Basquiat. Talk about your Rembrandt. Talk about your Picasso. Talk about Art Talk.
Man, Jay gonna give us that slick talk, man. Jay gonna give us that slick talk. Fuck that. Nah, man. Jay gonna give us that talk, Jay. Come on, Hov. Let's go, my nigga. Thank you. Thank you, Jay-Z. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
If you liked I Got It, that's what makes me hype. Then more power to you, my brother. But I can tell you.
Listen, if DJ Khaled is executive producing this album, I'll be tight. Khaled's not executive producing this album. Thank you, Lord Jesus Savior.
You'd be what?
I'd be tight if Khaled was executive producing this album.
Okay. Listen, for the industry people who don't know anything about hip hop, you know, the modern day people who cover hip hop, they're going to make a very big deal about this whole album. But see, I'm around the youth. The youth them. I'm around the young black youth.
This album is not for the youth them. This is not for the 18, 19-year-olds. These are for the old heads, my nigga.
I don't know. I don't know if it's for us.
Fuck it, you don't
know. We got to hear it.
Nigga, how the fuck you don't know?
Because when we hear it, we'll know. When we hear it, we'll know. Because here's the thing. We're going to talk about old man Hov now. You doing some real good stuff. You bailed out.
The nigga just had two babies. Nigga had twins and shit.
Come on. Salute to you on that. You bailed out fathers for Father's Day. Salute to you on that. You did a documentary on Khalif Browder. You did a documentary on Khalif Browder. Salute to you on that now. If that's your lifestyle and that's what you live in, prove to me you can put your pen to the paper and articulate it.
Prove?
I'd like to hear you do that, Hov.
Fuck you mean prove, nigga? What the fuck do you mean prove?
Because truth be told, lyrically, Talib Kweli, meaning he himself has said he's never rapped like that before. Okay? He's never rapped like that before. That's not what Hov raps about. That's not what Hov raps about. So now, based on your lifestyle, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? You're on the phone with Obama. You're doing a lot of positive shit. You're bailing out protesters in Ferguson. Listen, I follow what Hov does. And nigga can't talk Hov to me. I talk Hov to niggas. What I'm saying is, I want to hear how does this sound with Hov if he's going to articulate what's really going on.
I don't think we're going to have that problem. I don't think we're going to have that problem at all, sir.
What if he doesn't talk about this shit? The shit he's doing. And then I'm gonna be like, wait a minute, Hov, you talked about art. So let me hear you articulate police brutality. The fucked up system of incarceration. What happened to Khalif Browder? Because you putting your money to this shit. You living this shit. You don't believe in it. You're trying to do positive shit about it. So being that this is your lifestyle, how you living, what makes hip hop great is you put pen to paper of your reality. Reality rap. So your reality rap right now, Hov, is what you're doing. So I can't wait to hear this album.
Shit, my nigga.
We'll see. And let me tell you the type of value I'm from hip hop. I compare. So you know I'm comparing it to Kendrick. I have to compare it to what's out right now. I have to compare it to his contemporaries. And
I'm not comparing none of these niggas to Jay-Z. None of them. None of you niggas. Sorry, Kendrick, not you, not Cole, not Future, not Migos. the fuck out of here. None of you niggas, man. None of you niggas.
You put Kendrick
J-A-Y-Z, nigga.
You putting Kendrick in the category with Migos, man, in Future?
No, I'm talking about niggas out
Kendrick
popping.
Is a traditional MC.
Sir, you know I'm not doing that. Knock it off, nigga. You know I'm not doing that. I'm just talking about the niggas that's popping right now.
That's why I made it very clear. I'm going to compare it to Kendrick's album. Because Kendrick is rapping. I've made it very clear. And me and you reviewed Kendrick's album and we loved it. That is why I can't wait for this album. Because that is the album I'm personally comparing it to. Kendrick shit.
I'm comparing it to Magna Carta. I'm comparing it to Magna Carta. That's what I'm doing.
We just heard Styles P and Talib Kweli give us a great seven song EP. And we were giving Styles P mad props because Styles P was talking about what's going on today, right? We gave him mad props for that, right? So let me see.
Yep.
Hov, your turn.
You see, Hov, come on.
Hov don't got to prove that to you. Hov, you got to prove it to me. You got to prove it to me. You can talk to me.
Jay-Z don't got to prove a damn thing to nobody, my nigga, but himself.
Yo, come on. You got to prove it to me. I'm a hip-hop historian and a hip-hop critic. I analyze lyrics and I break them down. I analyze
flow and listen, delivery. I don't think my only concern with Jay-Z is the production. That's the only concern I have. I did not like the production on Magna Carta.
So, No ID is your dude right now? You rather
No
ID?
I say he's my dude. No, I'm not saying he's not. Fuck out of here. I'm not going to give No ID until I hear the music. Until I hear the music, then I will give it, you know. But his track
you don't
record.
You don't want to help with Young Chops? You don't want to help with Young Chops?
No, I'm good off that, my nigga. I'm so good off that, bro.
You don't want him with Mustard
I'm
on
so
the beat?
So good
off
that.
You don't want
Hell
him with
no.
Mustard on the beat?
And real quick, them niggas like Mustard on the beat, you other producers, y'all niggas be having a short fucking reign. That nigga Mustard was popping for one calendar year. One calendar year. Niggas like, oh, the nigga's sounds the fucking same. Sounds the fucking same, man. He's not there with Primo. He's not there with Dre, Pete Rock, Dame Grease, Havoc, Q-Tip. I know where them niggas, man.
What, you don't want to hold with Beethoven?
Goody off that, my nigga. Hold on, sir. I need to get your take on Arsenal and Loaded Lux, U-Dub. Arsenal the Rebel and Loaded Lux, August 5th. And let me just throw a tidbit before you go, sir. Arsenal is battling this Saturday on 2-on-2 on Double Impact. And let me throw another tidbit out there. It's going to be on pay-per-view. Pay-per-view. URL is on pay-per-view for Double Impact. But before I do that, he's going to be on Double Impact this Saturday. Then I want to say July 20-something, he's battling Iron Solomon. Then fast forward August 5th, which is what, up to a week and some change. He's battling Loaded Lux. Go ahead, man. Let me hear this shit.
I'm with it.
You're with it.
I'm with it.
You're with it.
Yeah, I'm with it.
What
do you want me to
with
want to be against? Well, because I love. First of all, wait a minute. I love battle rap. So
facts.
If you're telling me I get another opportunity to see Loaded Lux, because Loaded Lux rarely battles, and Loaded Lux is a lyricist. Anybody Loaded Lux would battle, I would watch that battle just because I get another opportunity to listen to Lux and Lux's deep, intricate bars. Yes, I'm excited for the battle. I want to see Arsenal and Loaded Lux because it's showing Loaded Lux is saying, I'm not too big for the new era. I'm from the Smack DVD era, and I'm
no,
not going
he's
to...
No, he's saying that Arsenal cut the check. He's saying Arsenal cut the check.
And Arsenal cut the check for him in Hollow.
He dropped
so
the bag.
He's doing it, so-called legends, who have turned down bags, okay?
Murder Mook. Murder Mook. Yeah.
I'm that's you saying it, not me.
That is me saying that. Yeah, Mook.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Arsenal understands Loaded Luck is considered a Mount Rushmore battle rapper. He knows this. I think Awesome is going to write his ass off for this battle.
My nigga, you're bypassing the fact that he's doing a 2-on-2. Then he has Iron Solomon. Do you see the calendar, my nigga? Saturday is June 24th. Then July 22nd is battling Iron Solomon. August 5th, Loaded Lux. Come on, my nigga. That's too much on Awesome's plate, in my opinion. And that tells me, Sean, ding, 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 ding. I don't know. Here goes an epiphany light bulb in my head. Only one person is going to get his full undivided attention. And you know what that's going to be? It's going to be Lux. It better be Lux. So the 2-on-2, okay, it's two niggas writing together. All right. You don't want to go too hard. All right, whatever. So really Solomon and Lux should be the focus. But come on, he's going to go harder. He's going to go harder for Lux than this nigga.
So here's the thing, as a battle rap fan and historian that you are, Arsenal has never taken days off in battle rap. This is what he does. It's just now it's the level of opponent. He's battling some serious pen gods, lyric gods. Iron Solomon can write. Loaded Lux can write. And he's taking them very close. But Arsenal's been taking battle rappers very close for the last 7 to 8 years. So this is not out of the ordinary what he's doing. I'm saying he knows how important the Loaded Lux battle is. He knows that. So for whatever he does outside of that, he knows the Loaded Lux battle is going to be the battle that is most watched and he's most judged on. So if he gives you caca juice and subpar performances on all those other battles, it will all be forgiven depending on what he does with Lux.
I agree. Listen, first of all, let me throw it out here, and I don't know if you agree with me on this. I don't like niggas taking battles and not going hard on each battle. Don't make it obviously that it's for a check you're doing it for or just to have a nigga on your resume. And I don't want to put Arsenal's name in that. I got mad respect for this nigga. Arsenal's a cool-ass nigga. I want to see him as a legend and as some niggas like yourself who have him on the Mount Rushmores to go out with a bang, like to go hard in these battles, man, and give us three rounds of fire. You know what I mean? That's the shit I'm on.
How close was the Tay-Rock and Briz battle?
Not close. Not close, sir.
Not close
to me. No. Briz and Arsenal?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, son, I don't think it was close at all. At all.
Well, I saw it.
And that fuck with Arsenal. That's me just, and I'm being real.
They were. So, my point is, to me, this is not going to discredit him at all, man. I think he has enough respect.
No, you can't discredit Arsenal. He's done too much with battle rap to even put the D-I-S-C-R-E-D-I-T name. You know what I mean?
I think he has enough respect for battle rap, but he's not going to go in against Iron Solomon and Lux and strike out and go 0-for-4 at the plate and shoot 20% from the field and get negative yardage from the goal from the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's going to do that. And like I said before, if he gives us subpar performances, the one battle I think he is not going to give us subpar performance is the Lux battle. What would it do for him if people say, yo, Arsenal won that battle? That would erase.
Yo, my nigga. It's on, you know what that is? The first thing that comes to my mind is on someone, John Elway won the Super Bowl against the Packers out last year and just retired after that. It had also David Robinson shit when he retired with the Spurs. Like, you go to the sunset with that one. Like, if Arsenal clearly beats Lux, my nigga, that is huge. That is huge, man. I think that negates a lot of shit that people had issues with Ars, whether it's the phone, putting the phone out in battles, or people think he's going through the motions. You know what I'm saying? But he beats Lux. Son, I think there's the niggas out here that want Arsenal to actually beat Lux, my nigga. For real.
Let me give you a sports analogy to me. One of my idols growing up was a guy by the name of Julius Dr. J. Irving. He only won one championship. His record in the championship is 1-3. But you know what I remember Dr. J for? That one championship he won. He got it. So I'm not thinking about when he lost to Magic and when he lost to Bill Walton and he lost to Magic twice. I'm thinking he got his ring and he won it. Arsenal wins this Lux battle, like you said, my man. My Mount Rushmore pick that I have over him is going to be justified 1,000%, won't it?
So what do you say to the people? And I've been watching the comments that people are saying Lux is going to wash Arsenal.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that. I won't believe it.
Look, this is what I say to people who think that. Arsenal battled Charlie Clips. A lot of you guys think Charlie Clips is one of the all-time greats. Charlie Clips didn't just wash Arsenal and just 3-0 him and send him away like he didn't exist. Arsenal can stand in front of Loaded Lux. Let's be clear about that. Maybe a lot of you new guys don't think that because in your mind, in your new generation, niggas see him battle Grizz. They're like, oh, that old washed-up nigga, he finished. Or maybe that, but he had a debatable with Tay-Rock. Let's keep it 100. This guy was.
I had Tay-Rock 2-1 clear. 2-1 clear.
Okay, but Tay-Rock didn't wash him. Tay-Rock
no.
didn't 30-piece him. So my point
but some
is,
people think Briz. But some, to be fair now, some people feel Briz did that. Some people feel Briz won that 3-0 clear.
Because of that, that's it. Briz 3-0 to Arsenal, so that means Lord Lucky is going 3-0, and that's the end of it.
Nah.
Come on, man. This is battle.
Well, that's,
battle
but that's what's
going
on. That is, hold on. That is some people's train of thoughts. Like, okay, well, damn, if he lost to Briz this way, what y'all think Lux going to do with him? That is the conversation that some people are actually having, my brother.
Yeah, then you know what? Then y'all looking at it wrong. Battle rap is styles make fights. It's like you could run through a lot of dudes. For example, we never saw Arsenal get done dirty the way Briz did it. I mean, maybe if you want to go back to the Hitman, but that was different. Hitman was using angles on him and using it against him. Briz was actually out disrespecting him. So to see it was like, whoa. Like, he's taking what you do, Arsenal, and you know, giving it back to you. But that doesn't mean, see, it's going to be different. See, Lux is going to take his battle serious, too, man. Lux is going to take it serious.
But come on, before you go, we could agree that Lux takes every battle serious, even if you think he lost to Mook. Or, you know, whatever, he lost the Clips or whatever you want to throw out there. You know, it's debatable. Some people feel Lux won.
Some people feel Clips won. Let me go on the record. I do not think he lost the Clips. Let me go on the
record. Okay. But the point I'm making, Sean, no one, Lux doesn't ever come to battles unprepared. I mean, minus the choke against Calico, but he always comes prepared. You feel me? Even against he lost to Mook, clearly. But the point I'm making, he's going to come prepared. And he doesn't battle all the time. So, you know, once a year, if that.
I like this run Arsenal's on. I respect it. And Arsenal is getting a battle that every battle rapper wants. He's getting Lux, man. That means he's going to be the centerpiece of the battle rap world. Because you're getting Lux.
Mm-hmm.
If you get Lux, you are the centerpiece of battle rap. And let's be real. That's just a fact. You see, Ava was dying to get Lux. Like, everybody wants Lux. JC wants Lux. You know who's getting Lux? Arsenal. So, you know, I'm saluting Arsenal on this one, man. I'm saluting them.
Well, would you rather be Mook, though? Because I'm on record. I told Arsenal this before that I'd rather him be Mook.
The reason why I want Mook is because I want Mook to battle somebody
exactly.
outside of the Smack DVD
exactly.
era. And I feel Facts. He's gotten away with some murder and highway robbery to say I am a Mount Rushmore battle rapper, yet I've battled no one in this era. When?
Nah, but some
I
people have him on here, though. Some people have him on the Mount. But hold on. The niggas Mook battle, though. But hold on, my nigga. Some people make the argument with Mook that he hasn't lost a round. Since Sirius Jones. Like, he 3-0 Young Hot. He 5-0 Aaron Solomon. So that's 8-0. Then he 3-0 Loaded Lux.
We can't count the pre-URL era. Because if we count the pre-URL...
You have to count that.
The pre-URL era... Wait, if we count it, to count his J. Mills battle, his Party Artie battle, his Sirius Jones battle...
I do count those. I count those, my nigga. Hold on. My nigga, hold on. Hold on, my nigga, hold on. If me and you counted... The other day, we were talking about Arsenal and Hollow. If we get... And that's a Fight Club battle. And we count that as a win for Arsenal, we got to do the same thing here. Regardless of who is...
Agreed.
You know?
I agree with you. And since I agree with you, then we have to start dissecting his record in those DVD battles.
Okay.
And we discussed this already. You know? There's no clear wins in the DVD era.
Well, Mook, man, I'm going to be real with you, Mook. I'd rather see you battle nigga like Arsenal, my nigga. Arsenal, Surf. How the fuck Mook ain't ever battled Hollow is wild as fuck to me. Like, how the fuck that's never happened? Like, shit like
Let
that.
Let me just say this.
Like, damn, come on, my nigga.
Let me just say this. If you can get Hollow and Loaded Lux to battle, you should have been, whatever powers that be, should have been able to get Mook. Because...
Well, let me give you a backstory now. Hold on. When Snoop was doing his fucking show, Snoop was down to put bread up for Arsenal to battle Mook. But Mook ain't want to do it.
And that is what my belief goes down to. It all comes down to Mook has to want the battle. Because if Mook, here's the thing. Can we be clear? If Mook wanted to battle rap, Mook could battle rap every month in any league, anytime he wanted to, and he can get the high, and he could be the highest paid player, the highest paid battle rapper on that card if he wanted it. But
yeah,
for
but
whatever the reason,
money's asking for, the money's asking for is, come on, is out the wazoo, my G.
Time out. I agree. You asking for $100K for a battle?
That's ridiculous, man. That's fucking ridiculous.
Because you're
some
not
niggas,
getting, you're not
some niggas that perform, some hip hop artists ain't even getting that shit for fucking performing at a show. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I would like, but the reason why I would like to see Mook battle Arsenal is because Mook has to battle someone in this era, and he's waiting too long. You know? Like, are you retired? Like, what's going on? I mean, I wanted that Surf battle so badly. You don't know. I mean, that is a battle. When
oh, my nigga, I want that shit too. I ain't gonna hold you.
I wanted that battle. Like that was a dream battle for me. Because I was like, Mook is gonna stand up on somebody from this era, younger nigga, who gonna talk that shit to him for real. Like, really talk it. Like, I think he was gonna get Big T Surf. You know what I'm saying? That's who you would have got. And I don't know how you was going to stand.
Because Surf, cause I think Surf knew if you'd have got that battle, he would have to really be in some, like, locked-in fucking room, nigga. No haircut, no shaving, just pen to pad and just, you know, popping your fucking blood vessels to get these bars out. You know what I mean?
I think Surf's street talk is would have been very interested to see how Mook would have handled that. Because Surf would have been going. And I wanted that battle, man. That's a battle that I really, really wanted to see. Because that was like, you coming into the new era, and you're battling that dude in the new era. You know what I'm saying? So, I would have loved to see it.
Word. All right, my nigga. Well, that's what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. Me and the homie Sean, y'all already know what it is, man. Take us home, my nigga.
To all you NBA fans, Dwight Howard got traded. Three, you ain't know that. I'm putting you on.
Hold on. You want to talk sports real quick? You want to talk sports right quick? Hold on. You want to talk sports right quick?
Yeah.
Hold on. So, my nigga, what's going on? Talk to me. Talk to the people.
Bleacher Report just hit me up and said Dwight Howard was traded. The man D'Angelo Russell from the Los Angeles Lakers was traded. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know about D'Angelo getting traded. So hold on.
Okay,
where did Dwight get traded to, though, my nigga? You just can't say Dwight got traded to what team?
He got traded, man. You know, I erased the update. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking me, you erased the updates. Hold on, let me look right now, my nigga. You're wildin'. To where?
I'm just saying, your man, Dwight Howard, got traded.
To the Hornets trade for Dwight Howard. Why are you not saying the Hornets traded for Dwight Howard? Why is that a secret?
Hawks agreed to trade Dwight Howard in the 31st pick for Miles Plumlee and Marco Bellinelli in the 41st pick. Okay?
My nigga, well, how do we feel about Dwight Howard? My nigga, can this nigga stay on one fucking team? Didn't he want to go to Atlanta? I want to go home. Nigga, you went home. What the fuck was what is wrong with this nigga Dwight Howard?
I think it's safe to say that Dwight Howard is looked at as a has-been motherfucker who's overpaid, and, you know, if we could get anything from him, we can. Because his heart and soul is not into it. You going to put some respect on Brook Lopez's name? He got traded to the Lakers. Are you going to put some respect on Brook Lopez's name?
Why? Am I putting respect on Brook Lopez? Because he got traded to the Lakers? That's the reason why.
He's a very serviceable center. No question about it.
Okay, he's better than Timothy Mozgov. Yeah, no doubt. He's better than Timothy Mozgov, no doubt.
And who else? And everybody else not named Anthony Davis? Like, let's be real.
But hold on, my nigga. Let's be real. The center position that you and I came up under the 80s and 90s meant something. This league has turned into a guard-driven league. So the center position is not really at a high demand and regarded in a high regard like it was in the 80s and 90s, my G.
You're right. It's not in high regard.
Hold the fuck up. We got to talk basketball. Yo. Phil Jackson, my nigga, what the fuck are we doing, my nigga? Like, why am I hearing Porzingis could be traded? Is this smoke and mirrors? Are you trying to, like, set up niggas to hit your phone and see what you can get for this nigga? Like, why are these conversations happening? My nigga, you drafted Porzingis with the 4th pick a couple years ago. None of us knew the fuck he was, okay? Now, if you're a big basketball nuthead like me and this nigga is, you heard niggas talking about this nigga from Latvia. He got game, da-da-da. These niggas want to anoint him, the young Dirk Nowitzki. Let's slow the brakes on that real quick. So none of us believe in this nigga. Knicks have bad luck on draft nights. We draft niggas like Renando Blackman and all kind of other crazy dummy niggas. I had Jerome Hill, all these bird-ass niggas. So the young boy shows promise. Not only, Phil, are you disrespecting Carmelo and the way you are. My nigga, how do you feel how Phil is handling this Carmelo Anthony thing?
Phil Jackson needs to retire and walk off into the sunset. He's not equipped and he's not built to deal with the modern-day NBA player of today. He can't do it. He can't say, Zen master, I'm going to live off of what I did with Jordan, Shaq, and Kobe. Side note, Phil Jackson tried to trade Kobe Bryant for Jason Kidd. He tried to do that. Trade. And guess what the owner bus said? Fuck you. Okay? I sided with Kobe over Shaquille O'Neal, and you think I'm going to trade him for Jason Kidd? Okay, so Phil Jackson has ruined the Knicks with his run.
My nigga, we were already ruined. He just came in and just left the handle off the toilet seat and flushed the toilet.
Here's the thing, Phil did. You can't antagonize your star player. You can't say shit like, I want you to take less money when Carmelo was trying to get his max deal. And Carmelo was, at the time, clearly a max player. You can't be telling a max player, yo, you need to take less money. That's going to bump him the wrong way. Then, you know, maybe we should train him so he can go chase the ring. Kidding me? You don't like Carmelo Anthony. Fine, we get that. But what about your Derek Fisher hire? That was a horrible hire.
Jeff Hornacek is trash too.
I mean, let's just say this: did Steve Kerr make the greatest decision in basketball history? You got two options: you can go coach the Warriors, or you can go coach the Knicks. What did Steve Kerr say? I'm going to do. Steve Kerr said, "You know what?
I'm going to go to Golden State." That was the smartest move Steve Kerr ever did in his life, my nigga. He was like, "Man, I'm not going to that team." And this is my squad I'm saying this about.
And let's be clear. When Steve Kerr picked the Warriors were not a championship team. They were a team that got to the second round and lost.
Yeah, but Mark Jackson set it up. Mark Jackson set it up lovely for Steve Kerr. It was almost like when Tony Dungy was coaching the fucking Buccaneers and he got fired, and Gruden came in. Gruden came in there and left. You know, he took Tony Dungy's leftovers and shit. Just, you know, finessed it. Same with Barry Switzer when Jimmy Johnson left. That 1 year, Barry Switzer came in and won a Super Bowl. You know.
Right, but let me just say from my viewpoint. I did not know that the Golden State Warriors would be what they became. I didn't know Steve Kerr was going to take them and they was going to be a 68-win team that next year, and Steph Curry was going to be out of this world and arguably, like, the best. I didn't know that. Like, they was a second-round team that lost to the Spurs. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't think nothing of it. But Steve Kerr took that team, and he told Phil Jackson, you're going to make me the highest-paid coach? No, I'm not doing it. Phil Jackson has been a disgrace. He's been
disgraced, my nigga.
He's overpaid, and he's making millions. And he's doing
overpaid.
Nothing. And now we hear
overpaid, nigga. That's an understatement. Holy mother of God.
Now you're hearing that Porzingis might be traded or Porzingis might
win. That
hurt
my heart, my nigga.
I don't know. To me, that's Phil Jackson's fault. Because what, Phil Jackson, how you feel about Porzingis? Why does Porzingis feel some kind of way? He got the fuck out of Dodge as soon as the fucking season was over. So,
this franchise, is a joke, my nigga.
As long as Phil Jackson, the Zen master, who has a problem with today's modern day athlete.
Facts.
As long as you have,
and my nigga, stop trying to implement the triangle offense, man. We don't have the right players for that shit, my nigga. We don't move along with that dumb shit, man.
You know what's crazy about the triangle offense? When the triangle offense breaks down, guess who I got? I got Jordan and Kobe, ISO players, and
exactly.
You bail us out. So that's a false premise, this triangle bullshit. Okay? You had two of the
greatest. Well, Melo's an ISO player. Hold on. Melo's an ISO player, but, you know, I'm not the biggest Carmelo Anthony fan. Let me throw that out there. I'm a Knicks fan. I know Knicks fans on Twitter get mad at me. You niggas be blinded sometimes. I'm not the biggest Melo fan like that, but I respect him because he's on my squad. If he bounces, I'm not going to lose no sleep. If Porzingis gets traded, I'm not going to be mad if Melo leaves. I'll be mad as fuck we lose Porzingis. I'll be more mad we lose Porzingis over Melo.
That's why he can't. I mean, what can you get back? Porzingis has his future is on the... He has a bright future. Just do the 7
Come on, man. Real bright future, man.
He could potentially be a
player. And this is what I understand also. Phil Jackson, you think you're going to lure in free agents to this fucking mess that you got going on here? You think free agents are going to they want to come talk to you, my nigga, about playing for the Knicks? I'm talking about big-time free agents. I'm not talking about these little niggas like Courtney Lee and fucking Deion Waiters and them kind of niggas. No. Talking about big time free agents, man. This is crazy, man. Only if we'd have just gave Pat Riley what he wanted, man. If we'd have just gave Pat Riley what the fuck he wanted, we would not be in this bullshit. But hold on, my nigga. Let's talk about the Cavs right quick. What do you think about all this Butler, Paul George shit?
So, based on what I'm reading from my sources, like I'm an inside source, all I'm doing is following niggas' Twitter account. You know what I'm saying? Reading everything and shit.
Woj and Wojnowski. Shout out to Woj right quick. Woj bombs all day.
Paul George to the Lakers seems like they going hard body for that. Like, hard body. They got rid of D'Angelo Russell. The reason why I know they want Paul George is because they draft Lonzo Ball, and you got Paul George. And you got Brooke Lopez. Man, listen, I see what they're trying to do. Jimmy Butler wants to play for LeBron. Because here's the thing. This is the thing about playing with LeBron. You know for a fact you're going to the finals. See, everything about going to play with LeBron comes down to one thing. How are you going to play when y'all play against the Golden State Warriors in the finals? That's what it comes down to.
Right.
Because you, LeBron and Jimmy Butler, you know, when LeBron goes to the bench for his 33 minutes, he don't play 14 minutes. Jimmy Butler can get his points or whatever, Kyrie Irving. But is that enough to beat Golden State? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell the whole world, it's not enough. It's not enough. You know why? Because KD's not better than Jimmy Butler. He's a lot better than Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but what it helps, though, my nigga, hold on. What it helps, though, is LeBron James not having to play 40 minutes and lead the league the minutes played at his age and is getting into his mid-30s type shit. He can't play them 41 minutes. His minutes got to be restricted to 30 to 35 at some point. And if you can acquire a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George, but I know you're saying the Lakers are going hard for Paul George. And my gut feeling tells me, son, that Paul George is going to be a Laker. But if they get Jimmy Butler, I think that's not bad at all. And to be honest with you, I trust Jimmy Butler more than I trust Paul George.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Jimmy Butler just got that dog in him. Now, athletic-wise, Paul George gets that. But that grindy playing basketball, you know, the mid-range game, drive plays defense, I'm going with Jimmy Butler.
Okay, I can respect that because I respect Jimmy Butler. But here's the thing about Jimmy Butler and Paul George, which is why I don't think they work well with LeBron. Jimmy Butler and Paul George are ISO players. They're not what Kevin Durant is and Carmelo is. Carmelo and Kevin Durant can catch and shoot or they can be ISO players. So in other words, if they want to be Reggie Miller, they can be Reggie Miller. If they want to be bully ball, one-on-one ball, they can do that. Whereas Jimmy Butler and Paul George work best when you give them the ball and get the fuck out their way. Remember, Chicago was one of the worst three-point shooting teams. three ever. So
you said Chicago?
So when Klay Thompson
hold on, you said Chicago?
Hold on,
you said Chicago. Who's the best three-point team?
Chicago was one of the worst three-point shooting teams.
Oh, worse. Okay, pardon me, worse. Okay.
Yes,
right, of course.
So
Rondo, Timmy Butler, Wade, yeah.
He just couldn't shoot three. So when you get to Golden State and you got KD, Klay, and Steph Curry bombs away, Jimmy Butler, you're not shooting threes. What are you doing? Klay got 30. Klay got 6 threes. Curry got 7 threes. Durant got 5 threes. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, but they get Jimmy Butler. Did they get Jimmy Butler, though? At least they force a game 6 or 7 at least, my nigga. You know what I mean? It's not going to be getting blown out by 20-some points back-to-back first games in Oracle like they did. You know what I mean? And what do you think about LeBron getting rid of David Griffin? Because I'm surprised. Were you surprised they got rid of David Griffin?
I don't know the backstory to this because there's no way you can make a move like this without LeBron doing it because LeBron seems antagonized. I don't know if LeBron's pulling the old switcheroo on us. I don't know what's going on with this move because LeBron is saying if you wasn't appreciated, I just want you to know that I appreciate you.
Yeah, he put that on Twitter,
something
right? That's on LeBron's tweet.
Something is not right with this story. Something is not right with this story. Something is not right.
Let me ask you a question. Is it to the effect now that, okay, LeBron, you tweeted it out to save face because maybe behind the scenes they asked you, what do you think? So you just tweeting that out to make it sound like, you know, you wasn't behind it and we still riding for you even though you got your walking papers?
Oh. Stephen A. Smith, see, I don't know what to believe, man, because there's no way Cleveland could be making these moves when LeBron say so. You can't do this because now they're saying LeBron's only going to play, you know, my man Chris Broussard. You shouting out Wojciechowski. I'm shouting out my man Chris Broussard, right? Chris Broussard.
Yeah, but let's be real. Woj sources are better than Chris Broussard, though. When it comes to social media, Woj be dropping them bombs before anybody, my nigga. He's like the Adam Schefter of the NBA.
But here's the thing. Chris Broussard is on national television every day.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not disregarding that nigga at all.
And
son.
He talked about his sources and what he hears. And I listen to it.
Broussard, nigga, I do too. That's not taking
Broussard
nothing away from him. But Right now, people be camped out and refreshing their page to see what the fuck Woe's going to drop on social media. Because he drops his shit on social media.
I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them dudes. I follow him.
I follow Mark Stein, all them niggas, man. I don't have a preference. But I be looking and I study this shit, and I notice Woe's be having, I be watching that shit. Woe's be having the first shit on, like, when shit be happening, bam. There you go, Adrian Wojnarowski. Even though I listen to Broussard's podcast and all that, I fuck with Chris Broussard's podcast. If nobody listened to the one with him and Maverick Carter, please listen to that one. That shit was actually dope.
Yes.
So, yeah.
The LeBron thing is throwing me off, man, because they're saying LeBron has a family. He has a home in Cali. He might want to be like, where are you going to Cali?
Didn't
like,
they say his wife? Hold on. I heard them saying today his wife wants to go to L.A., to move to L.A. That's what they're saying. I don't know where these niggas be getting these rumors at. I don't know how they just hear that shit. That's kind of wild to me. But...
yeah, so the LeBron thing is throwing me off. The LeBron thing is throwing me off because I put it this way, I don't know what to believe because people are not in LeBron's inner circle. The only person who knows is Maverick Carter.
Fact.
You know what I'm saying?
And Rich Paul, them niggas.
And what's Marvel man? Rich Paul. Yeah, those guys know. You know what I'm saying? And if they're not saying it, everything else is speculation. You know, I know you might think Winderhurst knows, but no, Winderhurst don't know.
Windy.
Okay?
Windy Hurst. Yo, Windy Hurst be acting like he know. That nigga be talking mad cocky like he be knowing everything about LeBron, son. Geez, I know they went to school with him or followed him in high school, whatever, but Jesus, man. My Lord.
You're right. So,
we shall see.
The draft is going to be very important because here's the thing in NBA, like I tell everybody, fuck the draft. It's all about free agency and trades. Period. That's what matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters because no draft pick is going to impact what happens next year because Golden State is going back to the finals and we depend on who LeBron is bringing in, right? Is that what's going to determine the draft?
Yeah.
You could throw it out the window. These are young 19, 20-year-old guys trying to prove they could play in the league. Vet niggas like Chris Paul, he won a ring. Carmelo won a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas is chasing rings now. Let's keep it 100.
Fact.
Butler want to go. Paul George want to go.
Yep.
Niggas want to be. And let me tell you something. Niggas seen what KD did, and they're like, "Yo, I this is what I want, man. Fuck what you heard.
Yep.
I want to be in that team." You know what I'm saying?
Man. Well, so, that's what it is, my nigga. PSA motherfucking podcast, my nigga. Take us home.
Subscribe to PSA podcast to get that sports talk, that real rap talk, that real battle rap talk. You heard?
Mm. R.I.P. Prodigy, man.
Rest in peace, Hollywood P.
Bandana P.
Bandana P, nigga. Nobody rock that bandana like smoking that stogie, nigga. He rock that bandana, rocking that stogie with the tats, nigga, with that chain,
Facts.
That 40-inch chain, hanging down to his dick, banging glass tables, nigga.
R.I.P. Prodigy, you already know what it is, man. Easy.